the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Helen said, my name is Lizzie. I, for work, am a part-time primary school teacher, and I'm married to Chris, and we have two children who are 4 and 7 years old. So this morning, we're having the next in our sermon series, Resurrection People. And this morning, after Simon talked about resurrection bodies last week, this week, we're moving on to raising doubts. Last week, when Simon was speaking, we were still on Resurrection Sunday. It was still the same day that Jesus had come back to life. But today, we've moved a week later on in the story. And this topic of raising doubts, well, don't know about you, but doubt is definitely part of my life. I've listened for the last couple of weeks quite carefully to myself, and I can confidently say that my most common doubt in life is that my children have washed their hands. Now, my doubt is based on my belief that if you wash your hands, you wash the germs off and everyone is protected from those germs. So my doubt is based on some reasonable beliefs, I think. And yet, I have to have this doubt fairly often. My computer was re-imaged at work in the last week, and this has caused my computer to have some doubts about me. Don't know if you've had that screen. Are you sure you want to delete that? Are you sure you want to update that? No, I'm not, if I'm honest. But let me see. My computer has doubts. I have doubts about what I'm doing with my computer. And I'm sure I'm not alone in having doubts about what I spend my time doing. I'm sure we have doubts. Am I doing the right job, or am I spending my time wisely? Can I actually do the job that I'm being asked to do? Have I done the job that I was asked to do correctly? And then there's, you know, just the other small pile of doubts. You know, the ones like, does God exist? Does God really care about me? Is God powerful enough to be interested in the situations that I'm in? You know, just the extra doubts that come along the side of life. But firstly, my computer's question is actually a very, very reasonable question. Are you sure when you want to do something? And my computer's question is actually wildly helpful and has saved me from doing some really, really silly things. When my computer says, are you sure, and I think about it, it causes me to pause, question what I'm doing, and reevaluate. And without a doubt, those kind of doubts that cause you to pause, to question, and to reevaluate are extremely helpful. I see that people have that experience where the doubt has saved you from doing something ridiculous. In church, it can be really easy to think that the opposite of doubt is faith. However, I think it might be more helpful to understand that doubt is actually part of faith and vital to it. I think doubt is a vital part of faith. This week, I've been reading a few books about doubt and faith. This one, When Everything's on Fire. Oh, that's not the right slide, or was that one, or that one? There we go. When Everything's on Fire, Faith Forged from the Ashes. It's really, really quite academic, but a really good discussion of doubt and faith. This book by Tanya Marlowe is about doubt and faith. Now, I haven't actually read it. I've been trying really hard to get to it and haven't got there. But my friends assure me this one's really good. This is more your kind of having coffee with a friend kind of read. And these small ones, they're called Where Was God When That Happened? and how can I be sure, much smaller and accessible, lots of good information. This term's Alpha Course people really love books, and it's got me thinking about things you can read to learn about things. If you would like any of them, the church office have got them, so just give them a ring and they'll help get them to you. So, doubt as a vital part of faith. Let's have a look in the story of Thomas and see how doubt was a really vital part of his faith. How Thomas knew that doubt allowed something to change. Healthy things can change. How actually we can doubt our own doubts and then we can choose to believe. So before I read the passage, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into John 20. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand what you are saying to us from your word. Please help us to consider where we have doubts and let your truth speak to us. Please help us to be prepared when people speak to us about their doubts, that we may point them to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, we're going to John chapter 20 and verse 24. Well, that's probably readable. So John chapter 20 and starting in verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were in the house again. A week after Resurrection Sunday. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I don't know, you've probably heard the story of Thomas before, and if you have, I'm almost certain that you've heard him described as doubting Thomas. Now, that doesn't seem like necessarily the best thing to have attached to the front of your name in terms of nicknames. And I actually wonder if calling him Doubting Thomas like that makes us miss the value of his doubt. One of the reasons that characterizing Thomas as Doubting Thomas is a bit unfair is that he is willing to express his doubt and then change on the basis of the evidence. Did you spot in verse 25, he very, very clearly says his doubt. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in the side, I will not believe." Thomas is quite rightly questioning whether people come back to life. And he wants to see the evidence. When, later on in the passage, he meets the evidence, he is willing to change his mind. Now, at the school where I work, it has to be said, the school office is not the nicest environment. It's extremely hot sometimes. It's extremely dark. Not many windows. And for a long time, I was perplexed by the plants in the office. You see, the plants in the school office continually looked healthy. And I was like, how's that happening? And after a few weeks, months, I realized that they were in fact plastic plants. They were not going to change. And that is why they look so healthy. But you see, healthy things change, grow, and adapt. We're all working through a life of faith. And in our lives of faith, God is at work. God is refining all of our beliefs. If we were to never doubt and never question, then we might miss out on being open to the changes in our lives that God wants to bless us with. Thomas's beliefs changed for the better through his doubt. He doubted that someone was raised from the dead. If it was true, he wanted proof. Remember back in John 14. Thomas is the disciple who is prepared to say, after Jesus claims that he's going ahead of them to prepare a place for them, Thomas has the boldness to say, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" He's expressing his doubt once again. I think there's a challenge here for all of us to share our questions and to be honest about them with one another. Perhaps it's just having enough boldness to write them down and put them in the box. Admit that you have some questions. Maybe sneakily arrange a coffee with your friend and say, "I was just wondering what you thought about." Or text your home group leader and say, "Any chance we can talk about this sometime at home group?" Be bold, like Thomas, to express your doubts, to share them and air them. And you will find your faith then has the space to change and grow and develop. I know that at Belmont, asking questions about your questions is okay. And I know that because I've done it. Whether you want to question something in the Bible that you don't understand or is tricky, or question something that God is doing in your life or those around you, you're allowed to do that. In fact, it's actually encouraged to ask those questions, because in asking those questions, it allows us to let our faith grow and change and develop. We will meet Jesus in that. We took this photo at Alpha a few weeks ago, and I'm really excited to share it with you because this photo encapsulates something of the joy of Alpha. Here's all our shoes from that night at Alpha. All the people on the course, all the guests and all the leaders, there's our shoes. The guests on Alpha are some of the boldest people about expressing their questions and their doubts you will ever meet. In fact, one of the joys about being a leader on an Alpha group is that the group at Alpha is set up on the basis that we want to ask questions and doubt things. And in that community where we're trying to ask our questions and express our doubts, there is great joy in doing that and seeing God at work. I found it amazingly helpful from my own faith to express my doubts and to allow God to work in them. Every season of Alpha, it starts on the first night with this question: if you could ask God one question, what would it be? Now, this season of Alpha, we had the most rich and broad questions I think we've ever had. And after a recent discussion at Alpha, I actually began to think how much God had changed the doubts of those coming to Alpha. Very particularly, one person who, having watched the video on the evidence for Jesus, saw their doubt about the existence of Jesus changed into doubt about the significance of Jesus. and to see her faith change and develop, and her questions because she was bold enough to ask them. New doubts continue to be explored at Alpha this season, and we would love your prayers for the last 2 weeks and before this course finishes. So we've talked about this idea that healthy things change and that expressing your doubts is okay, exactly what Thomas was doing. Thomas is also willing to doubt his doubts. He boldly shares his doubts, even though all of his friends appear completely certain that Jesus has come back to life. He expresses his doubts. He's not pushing down his doubt because he thinks it's not okay to have it. He's expressing it and holding it up to be explored. Now, we have a reading light in our lounge, and it's extremely bright. And when you hold something under that light, you can see exactly what it is. You can read it, you can sew it, you can fix it, because you've held it up in the light to explore it. And taking your doubts or questions and letting other people talk about them and see them is very similar to that image. As I thought about this idea, I remembered a conversation that I've had in the last few months with a very wise friend. The conversation exposed my doubt about something which was based on, as it turns out, some very inaccurate beliefs. I had thought one thing because of some gossip. But when I shared my doubt about that situation with my wise friend, and my questions about that situation with my wise friend, the wise friend gently questioned my beliefs and caused my doubt about that situation to change. And I saw the truth of that situation. I allowed myself to doubt my doubts in that situation. And doubting my doubts brought me great freedom and brought me face to face with Jesus and what he was doing. Chris and I were chatting a couple of weeks ago. He'd had a particularly vexing day at work, and he was full of anxiety about what he was doing. As we talked about that situation and doubted his doubts about his ability to do his job together, and as we talked about that more, we saw that his doubt wasn't true, because we remembered what Jesus said about Chris together. As we doubted his doubt about his calling to that situation, and we allowed a light to be shone onto that situation, we met with Jesus there, and we saw that Jesus was at work. I believe that's the experience of Thomas. As he doubts his doubts, he meets with Jesus. And Jesus meets with him. If you find yourself with doubts this morning, I was thinking, how do you doubt your doubts? There's at least four things that I thought of. Talk to God about your doubts. Even if your prayer starts with, I doubt you're listening, God, but if you are. Talk to your friends or the people you would like to be your friends about the things that you doubt. Share those questions that you have. Read the Bible and think about your doubts as you read God's word. And worship, because in worship we meet with the living Lord Jesus. And I believe that will allow us to see our doubts in a different perspective. It can be really important, this idea of hearing a different voice in our doubts in this day and age of algorithms. You know how your algorithms on your phone or whatever suggest what you would like to watch or read next on the basis of what you watched or read last time. And when you click on something that you're not remotely interested in, and then it gives you hundreds of greenhouses for the next few days, I don't want these, I'm not interested. That can mean that it's really hard for us to get different perspectives on the situation that we are in, because the algorithms are feeding us the same thoughts and the same ideas. I think there is real value in this, our Belmont family here. There are so many people here with different experiences, people who can give wise advice and new perspectives on your doubts, people who may even have walked that road before you. So we've talked about how healthy things change and your doubts can change your faith. We've talked about the fact that it is possible to doubt your doubts. And then we come to choosing to believe. Now, I'm not a great story writer, but as a primary school teacher, I do occasionally write stories for my class to use to write. But I am certain that if I was planning out the story of Thomas instead of Jesus, that Thomas would have been met with some questions about his doubts, right? That would have been like, what gave you cause to doubt your friends who said I was alive? What made you think that I wasn't going to do what I said? Like, I feel that's kind of how I might have seen it. But that's not how it went. Jesus just met him in his doubts. I'm also certain that some of us, whether we admit it or not, sometimes we believe that Jesus would reject us for our doubts. But that is very, very far from the experience of Thomas. Jesus meets Thomas beautifully in his doubts, provides him with the evidence, and tells him what to do next. Let's look back at verse 27. Still on the wrong page. There we go. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus absolutely gives Thomas the evidence he needs to grow and change in his doubts. And Thomas, he's still the same character as he was back in chapter 14, and he totally gets there quickly. He can immediately allow Jesus to transform his thinking. There's actually no record that he even bothers to stick his fingers in. He just gets this and believes. This guy, Josh Moody, he really sums up Thomas and this moment so well. He says, "Now, doubting Thomas becomes worshipping Thomas. 'My Lord and my God,' he exclaims. You can find the purpose and the desire of the whole of John's gospel in this moment. It is to bring us to worship Jesus as Thomas did and declare him as our Lord, our God." Note the personal tone that Thomas adopts. "My Lord, my God." Here is adoration of Jesus as God in the setting of intimacy in a relationship with Jesus as brother. Now, hopefully, if you were with us last year and you studied the whole of John's gospel, this has got some ringing going on in the back of your mind as you think about the purpose of John's gospel. It's right there, the next two verses. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book," verse 30, verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Thomas's story of his doubt, his ability to doubt his doubts and show some change, and to cause him to worship in that moment, is a story that should point us to the risen Lord Jesus. Peter beautifully writes about this transformation in 1 Peter. He pours out his praise, all because of the risen Lord Jesus, who is changing our faith and meeting us in our questions. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, into an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him, now you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we leave today, I would love it if we can remember that we are resurrection people. Perhaps we need to remember, like Thomas discovered, that healthy Christians grow and change as they ask questions. Perhaps that we need to leave doubting our doubts and allowing ourselves to meet Jesus in our doubts. Perhaps we need to leave choosing to believe that when we can counter evidence that changes our doubts, there will be a step of faith but it will lead us to deeper belief in Jesus.